This is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. The Oregon May primary will go on as scheduled. Ballots will actually go out in a little more than 4 weeks. And one of the items on the ballot is the creation of a special taxing district to pay for building and operation of a new jail in Jackson County. The discussion of a new jail includes general agreement that one is needed because the current jail has to discharge people all the time to keep population down. There is concern, though, about whether the mental health needs of the community are being addressed. And that gave rise to a planned forum, Care Not Cuffs, which, like so many things, has been postponed. We have several people here to talk about the overlap between jails and mental health. Lori Hoagland is a healthcare worker and organizer of the forum and a member of the Jackson County Democrats Healthcare Caucus. Lori, thanks for joining us once again on the Exchange.
Oh, thank you. Glad, very happy to be here today.
It's good to have you all. Of course, everybody's on the phone today. That includes Pam Ames, who represents NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness in the Rogue Valley. Pam, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Matt Vorderstrauss is back with us once again, Development Director at Rogue Retreat. Hi, Matt.
Hey, thank you for having me.
You bet. Jason Clark is with us as well. He's a member of the Talent City Council. Jason, welcome to you.
It's good to be with you, Jeffrey.
So, Lori, let's start with you. I mean, obviously the county will vote on the jail taxing district. This is why you had planned the forum, right?
There was a lot of interest and concern and questions that came out of this proposal. And I am a health worker. I work as a nurse practitioner in Medford on the mobile unit of La Clinica. So I feel like my patients are a lot of the people that will be impacted by whatever decisions are made at the ballot box and are impacted every day by the services that are working as well as the services that we could perhaps increase to the community. So, yeah, it's a topic that there's a lot of interest in, and so we decided as a group we try to do community conversations around local health care, and it seemed like the perfect time to do that.
Jason Clark, on the Talent City Council, you're part of the only body in Jackson County, only municipal body that did not choose to take part in the election. So Talent is essentially opting out of a jail taxing district if it is created, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct, Jeffrey. Our responsibility as a council was to determine if joining this separate taxing service district was in the interest of our residents. And I determined that it wasn't. And what I heard from Talent residents was that they didn't want to pay for this huge tax increase for a proposal that does nothing to address the underlying causes of people ending up in jail in the first place. It does nothing to improve mental health care, addiction recovery, the lack of affordable housing, and other issues that lead to people being arrested in the first place. And if I could go back to your point about the need for a new jail, I would like to point out that the only public opinion poll that has been done on this issue to date, which was funded by the county, showed 71% of Jackson County voters opposed to the proposed plan for a new jail. So what we really need is a comprehensive plan that includes prevention, diversion, crisis assistance, and treatment. We need a plan that addresses the underlying problems like affordable housing and mental illness and addiction. And only then, when we plan for implementing these alternatives, will we really know if we do, in fact, need a new jail.
So we mentioned affordable housing twice in there. Matt Vorderstrauss, let's pick it up with you, the development director at Rogue Retreat, which, of course, has got several operations going on to try to get people who don't have homes into homes. How does the mental health and incarceration issue come into the work of Rogue Retreat?
Well, in many cases, we are sheltering individuals that oftentimes are people that are suffering from addiction and mental health issues and individuals that are oftentimes frequent flyers with local law enforcement. And so one of the things that we end up running into is the fact that we do see the fact that jails are oftentimes treated as local asylums, when the fact is that we do need to build up additional community supports for those individuals rather than just incarcerating them.
Pam Ames, coming at this from strictly a mental illness, a mental health point of view, talk about what NAMI members are saying to themselves about what the needs might be and what you're saying to public officials about the plans.
Well, we have been at public hearings, and among many speakers who are opposing the proposal as it exists and suggesting alternatives, among those would be to expand the livability program that started up approximately 6 months ago in the Medford Police Department, which is a good start to community-based programs. police efforts to offer diversion programs. We'd like to see expansions of drug court and mental health courts. We would like to see a true 24/7 psychiatric crisis center. There is a crisis center already, but it's business hours only, Monday through Friday, business hours, and no weekends or evenings or nights. There is a mobile 24/7 crisis unit in Josephine County, but not that I know of in Jackson County, and we'd like to see one of those.
You mentioned expansions of drug court, mental health court. Do those exist in some form already in Jackson County?
Oh, yeah. And in Josephine County. And I mentioned Josephine because NAMI operates in both counties. I realize this is a Jackson County-only proposal, so I don't mean to get off track. But, yes, drug courts and mental health courts already exist, but they serve a very small number of people at any one given time. 10 to 15 people at once in the mental health court. The drug court I know less about, but the mental health court offers all kinds of supports for people in contact with the legal system already and diverts them from a jail to a non-jail option of treatment services, community service, probation, parole, the kinds of things that would help people address the underlying problems, as all of us have said. So yes, we'd like to see that expanded. The Psychiatric Crisis Center would actually take not very much more money or personnel to put into place. In Jackson County, we're fairly close to having a facility that would answer at least some of the need for a place. People could walk in and self-refer if they were in crisis, or where law enforcement or social services personnel could take people for a warm handoff. We'd like facilities where if you go to a place to access services and you've gone to the wrong place, that place will not just tell you where to go, but take you to the place that you need to be and introduce you to the people who can help in your crisis situation.
So there's no walking through a wrong door in the warm handoff system.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We are talking about mental health and incarceration in the Jackson County context, which is prompted by the discussion of Jackson County putting on the ballot a plan for a new jail in May. There was to be a community forum called Care Not Cuffs, which was meant to be this week, but isn't going to happen now because of the coronavirus concerns. You're hearing from Pam Ames at the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Lori Hoagland, who's one of the organizers, a healthcare worker and a member of the Jackson County Democrats Healthcare Caucus. Matt Vorderstrass from Rogue Retreat is with us, along with Jason Clark from the Talent City Council. Questions, comments from you. There's a lot of talk about the Jackson County jail situation. Please join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Lori Hoagland, we talked about mental health as the number one concern showing up in the Community Health Improvement Plan, the CHIP for Jackson and Josephine counties. I imagine you've been perusing that report.
Yes. I have.
Uh-huh. And so as someone in the healthcare system, do you see some things that seem like obvious first steps?
Well, I do think that we need to have easily accessible care. On the mobile, I often run into people who are struggling to keep intact their medications, their counselors. For instance, if you are incarcerated, you lose your Oregon health plan, and then you have to get reestablished once you're out. There's a lot of barriers and a lot of delays that occur that can put a person who's already vulnerable and has struggles with anxiety and depression, you know, can put them into a much more difficult place. So I think that part of what motivates me here is not only for the public to be more aware of what's going on, but for each of the groups that are involved in improving behavioral health care in our county, that we all get to know each other, familiarize each other, and work together to make this a better system.
Just as an aside, because we need to talk about what's really on the table at the moment, are you concerned, Lori, that the time and money it's going to take to defeat COVID-19 will sideline mental health and all other health concerns in the community for months, if not more than a year?
Well, it definitely will have a significant impact. And the other thing I'm well aware of is a lot of these individuals are our most vulnerable people. And so they will be impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. And we see that already when we look at reports from other countries that, you know, homeless individuals, incarcerated people also are in a situation where they're more likely to contract the illness, have underlying medical conditions, and may have a difficult time surviving the illness. So there's a lot going on, and we just need to keep the awareness present as we go into the election, because once again, some things will go on in the presence of our current crisis.
Matt Vorderstrauss, to talk about the change you've had to make in accommodations at Rogue Retreat facilities to deal with the outbreak.
Yeah, we've done a few different operational changes to try to account for the really kind of the bigger, more caution that we have to have with dealing with COVID-19. And so throughout our program, since we are an essential service and we can't shut those down, we have taken a larger effort with cleanliness and really just kind of encouraging people to wash hands and providing the sanitation products that people need. But then today we actually just started limiting our public operational hours. So we are encouraging everybody to contact us via phone, via email and fax, so that we're basically shutting down our lobby so that we can close down the public walk-ins, but still be able to accept applications and be able to work behind closed doors to keep operations going, but also making sure that we are ensuring that our staff and participants maintain their safety.
Jason Clark, at the moment, you're not having in-person meetings in talent for now, are you?
Oh, that's correct, Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm. So back to the mental health angle, has the Talent City Council outlined a desired approach to mental health care? Is there some resolution or some other piece of paper that has been generated by, some position generated by the Talent City Council saying what you would like to see if this isn't it from the county?
Well, a number of views were expressed at the Talent City Council. Some were based around the creation of a separate taxing district, constituting a 40% increase in the county's share of your property taxes. What I called for at the Jackson County Commissioners meeting in early May, when I testified there, was to go back to the drawing board and develop a comprehensive plan that addresses the underlying causes of crime and people ending up in jail. And the pathway to that comprehensive plan is a truly inclusive, open, and transparent community process that engages relevant agencies, organizations, local governments, nonprofits, to develop and analyze a series of alternatives and compare the costs and benefits of each until we arrive at the most pragmatic approach. And I hope that that process will happen after the current proposal is defeated in May.
Well, we will see if it gets defeated. We are talking about the proposal for a Jackson County jail and the reaction to it from a mental health angle. Jason Clark is a city council member in Talent, the only city council in Jackson County to go against taking part in the election. Matt Vorderstrauss from Rogue Retreat is with us. Lori Hoagland is from the Jackson County Democratic Party Healthcare Caucus and is a nurse practitioner herself. And we also have Pam Ames from NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness. You can join us at 800-838-3760 and jx at jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Betty in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, thank you.
Sure. Go ahead.
I just wanted to just touch out there. I do work in public health, and I work in addiction treatment. And I just want to propose that I believe in a bigger jail would help. Right now, there's not enough pods to provide treatment in the jail for addiction. There was a program going at one point before the COVID-19 outbreak for 4 women and 4 men, 8 total people. That's not enough, and the rooms are small. There's not a big enough facility to give treatment in. And we're in there 7 days a week, and we also go in and we do assessments with folks, and we see where they stand. And I think having more mental health folks being able to go in the jail would also be helpful. So if NAMI can get in there and see clients and let them know about their services and where they could get connected, it's such a complex issue. And I think a lot of the times what happens is we want to push it from one person to the next. So if they have addiction treatment, they can't get mental health help until they get clean and sober. Getting folks clean and sober that are struggling with mental health issues is a whole other complex problem if they can't be in a group setting. So it's really coming together and figure out something else and giving people space to get clean and sober, which brings up more beds in the community for residential treatment.
Mm-hmm. All right. All good points, Betty. Thanks for bringing those up. Pam Ames, you want to weigh in on those?
I would love to. I was wanting to jump in immediately. The 24/7 psychiatric crisis center, of course, addressed primarily mental health issues, but a detox center in the community would be very helpful. And, of course, we already have addiction recovery services in the community, but they are not easily accessible by people who've had contact with law enforcement outside of the mental health court context. What we would like to see is mobile crisis response teams with no law enforcement involved. It entails one van, two people, with 400 hours of training each in mental illness, substance use disorders. They could be EMTs on this van. Such a thing exists in the CAHOOTS program, which is extant now in Eugene-Springfield area. And CAHOOT stands for Crisis Assistance Helping Out on the Streets.
Pam, hang on just a second, and I want to ask you all to stick with me, because if I can get about five more minutes on the other side of this coming break, we can wrap this discussion up and give it the time it deserves. Well, the time it deserves today, anyway. So we'll come back and talk more about mental health and incarceration here on the Jefferson Exchange with our four guests. We come back in 1 minute. So you were saying, Pam, that there are other programs. Basically, does this create an opportunity, the discussion of a jail, to talk at more length about here are the things that we could have had thus far and should be having now?
It certainly does. And this is information that we've had at our fingertips for a long time, but there's not been a public context in which to put it out there until this jail proposal came along. So in a way, it's a blessing in disguise. And the fact that I think all of us on this phone call expect the jail proposal to be turned down means that we have a pretty good second chance at putting our ideas forward and getting them listened to in a more respectful way. So the CAHOOTS program is comprehensive and far outdoes what we have here in Jackson County. They operate on a shoestring budget of $1.6 million, and some analysts have said that that small budget saves up to $17 million per year in reduced jail housings and emergency room visits. It would be worth it to invest even half that much in programs that are less comprehensive and build on those over time.
Let's take another call in here. Kevin and Ashland, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. My concern is the amount of money the jail is requiring that the county set aside will eliminate a lot of other financial options the county might need to spend money on in the future. If the mental health services were being already well provided in the county, then I could support the jail much more straightforwardly. But Oregon is already at the very bottom of the heap nationally around providing mental health services. We're in 51st place on a study by Mental Health America among all the states in Washington, D.C., around mental health outcomes for adults. And it just concerns me that putting the money into a jail when there's such huge unmet need to keep people out of jail in the first place is unwise.
Jason Clark, is this about where you're coming from?
Yes, exactly. And this ties in with the previous call. The county's proposal says that the money raised can only be used to build and operate the jail. And so any services provided on the inside will do nothing to address the lack of services on the outside. And given the trauma that comes with being locked up, it's very difficult to achieve good mental health outcomes from treatment within a jail. And if we go the route of building a jail that will cost $1 billion over 23 years, we will not have the resources available for improved mental health or addiction treatment or improved crisis intervention. And so, you know, we as taxpayers and those who find themselves in jail will be locked into a downward spiral of an expensive and ill-conceived criminal justice system. And we can do better than that, and I hope that we will.
Lori Hoagland, the Care Not Cuffs Forum was supposed to be Wednesday. Obviously, you can't hold it now because of the meetings ban in Oregon at the moment. What's the plan at this point? Is it going to happen online or something?
We have a plan. We have speakers. We will be doing a production on April 7th. We will get together and have this conversation, and then we will make it available to the public.
Okay, so the forum will be online April 7th. So the people just go to the where they go to the same link that we sent people to on Facebook.
We will send a message to JPR as well as to other media sources about how people can get the link to listen to the program.
We will look forward to that then. Care Not Cuffs is the name of the forum, now planned for April 7th, online only. Lori Hoagland is a nurse practitioner at La Clinica and a member of the Jackson County Democratic Party Healthcare Caucus, which is sponsoring Care Not Cuffs. Jason Clark is a city council member from Talent. Matt Vorderstrass is from Rogue Retreat. Pam Ames from NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Thank you all for joining us today for this conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
All right, it's a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure to be there.
All right, thanks, Pam, very much. So we'll talk about it again in the future. Right now on the Jefferson Exchange.